Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of the Game Horizon After Hours podcast. This is episode 21. This is Alex, and of course I am joined by Ted and Sean. How are you guys doing this week?
You got 21, I got 22. You want to play Aces and Eights? I got a few of those as well.
Well, I'm glad that everything is back to normal. So how's everybody doing this week? I mean, there's, you know, how was Titanfall, I guess, is the main question that I'm curious about.
I think I hit 37 or 38, somewhere in there. Sean, where are you at?
I think I was at 38.
Yeah, you were at 37 when we started playing. You hit 38 while we were playing, and then you had to ditch after a few matches, which is okay. And then, did you break 40 yet?
I haven't played it since we played.
Oh, I caught up.
Yeah.
There actually is a limited time achievement, as is the system on Xbox One, to hit level 50 before the end of March.
I'll do that. I'll definitely do that.
It's easy. That's going to be easy.
Is that the cap?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the special thing, like, when you get 50, do you get, like, the same thing like you do in Call of Duty where you get to restart again and stuff?
Yeah, it's called regenerating instead of prestiging.
There's a storyline justification where it's like you're making the next generation. You know what? I don't even care.
So
does anybody
like
know
Infinity
what happens
Blade.
In the camp? Does anybody know what happens in the campaign of that game? I mean, I don't even know when I played it.
No, and I'll be discussing that in my review.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, I guess from what I can tell, it's not the breakthrough storytelling that, you know, they've been kind of touting all this time, which, you know, I think we kind of knew anyway, you know.
I don't think anybody touted it. I remember having this discussion several times for the last, like, 10 months about what the campaign is and isn't, and everything I said it was is what it is. It's a cutscene before the match, and then the match starts. And they say shit to you, and then the match is over, and that's it.
Because you can't control whether or not you win or lose the match, the plot progresses regardless of whatever happened.
Right.
It's just basically, oh, we lost this war, this battle, let's go to the next battle. Oh, we won this battle.
Well, actually, I played the same fight both times with the same side, and I won and lost, and basically, we lost, but we still managed to achieve our goal, or we won, and we achieved our goal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only reason why I kind of bring it up again is because if they didn't do it right, somebody else will, you know? Like, I feel like that's probably what everybody's going to be aiming for. Because, you know, that was, I mean, yeah, you know, we've been talking about, you know, like, how it really is, like, the campaign and stuff. But that was kind of their marketing shtick to begin with. You know, it wasn't fully fleshed out. It's still a good game, but it only takes one other person. It only takes them to kind of fail once for everybody to just kind of be like, hey, we can iterate on this. Let's make this better. Or worse.
Now that someone has tried it, just watch and see everyone else start doing it. Now that people know that this is a thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing how often publishers will just do the same thing over and over because people are afraid to try different things.
Well, that's something I want to talk about a little bit later about regarding the Metal Gear. I haven't gotten it, but
I haven't gotten it either.
Pricing.
It is out as of today. That is right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Titanfall is really fucking good.
I want to say for the record, everything I ever said negative about Titanfall that I was afraid of, like, oh, it's going to be, everyone feels like they're doing good at this game. Nope. I was so wrong and I was so happy. Because there are ways to improve.
And the texture quality is a lot better than the beta, I would assume, right?
Nope.
Oh.
The beta was the final texture. The alpha was the one that was gimped.
The game doesn't blow me away graphically, but you're moving so fast and it feels so smooth once you realize that's what you're supposed to do. It's not so much about the visuals. It's about the fact that it's 60 frames per second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. There are some things that I think we take for granted in terms of why that game's impressive graphically. The maps are pretty fucking big. First of all, and there is a huge skybox. Like, when you eject from a Titan, you are up there. You know, it's not like this little piddly little like eject. You are in the air, really high. There's high buildings you can get on top of.
Mm-hmm. That's to credit the actual, you know, Source engine, because that was one of the weaknesses of Quake 3 is that they weren't good with outdoor environments. And, you know, like, people have kind of bootstrapped it to kind of make it work, but Source is the one that really, you know, like, a lot of people say, like, it's, like, the best when it comes to, like, huge outdoor maps and stuff.
I do not even feel like I'm playing a Source Engine game. And when I say Source Engine game, I mean, you know, really anything with Valve.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't feel like Source Engine.
I mean, you could tell they gutted it. I mean, they absolutely gutted it. They used it just so they could have, like, a foundation without having to build that foundation themselves.
Right.
So they knew that things could work the way they needed them to, and then they just reiterated and mm-hmm. iterated and iterated.
Added post-processing and stuff and all that.
But, yeah, I mean, there's... playing this game... I mean, I only played a couple matches with Ted, but just to give you an example, this is something that happened in the match I was playing with Ted. We were playing Capture the Flag, and I had a couple of my buddies join in, and I ran across, and I have, you can, kind of like Call of Duty, you have not perks, but there's a, you have a tactical ability, which you have, you can choose one of three things. That's either cloaking, a stim, or like this thing called active radar pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And the stim basically, these are all temporary abilities. Like you can't cloak infinitely unless you get a burn card that lets you do that. But right out of the gate, you just, you know, you cloak to try to, cloak is supposed to be to get away from Titans because Titans can't see you when you cloak. Pilots don't have a problem.
I disagree with that. I chased a guy around a block and he cloaked and I just lost him somewhere. And then he had actually backed away from the block while I was still doing loops around it and just shot me while I was just looking for him. Creative use of your perks makes sense. For example, I love stim more than anything. I pop stim right at the beginning of a match, try to get ground, and try to take people out before they're really ready. Last game I played today, before I switched over to KI to cleanse the palate, I took four people out before I got taken down. That's a win in my book.
Well, and just for Alex and anybody uninitiated, basically, stim gives you a speed boost and helps you regenerate your health faster when you're using it. And so I kicked that on, and I ran, and I grabbed the flag, and I jumped out of the window, and my friend was already waiting there with a Titan, so I automatically landed on his shoulder, and he ran me across the other side while I was on his Titan, and we capped the flag. And it was just such a random, like, we didn't talk about it. He was just like, hey, I'm here, and I didn't know he meant he was in a Titan, and I just turned around, jumped in the window, and all of a sudden I'm on his shoulder. And it's little moments like that that are peppered throughout every game that you play of that. So it's just all these wow moments, and it's just so much fun. Like, it's fast, and it's not chaotic in terms of, like, there's too much going on, which makes it fun, because if there was, like, I still think it could be 8v8, you know, I think they could get away with that, but 6v6, mm-hmm. it doesn't make it so that you're constantly in a battle. You can enjoy the mobility, you know, you can, like, I mean, there's times where I've run around the entire map like two or three times without seeing anybody, but it was so much fun. I didn't care, you know, just jumping over things and double jumping and just, it's just wall running and then double jumping onto another wall. And then it's just so much fun.
So, okay. So you guys have been talking about, like, the 6v6. While you guys are doing a 6v6, the AI is also peppered throughout the battlefield, right? So it's not,
that is correct.
Okay. So how has it kind of changed in terms of, like, when you're fighting against the opponent, how important or not important is it to actually face, like, a real human? Does it matter? Do you even feel like you're fighting, you know, do you know, like, if you're fighting against humans and stuff? Like,
absolutely. You can just look and tell. Grunts, which are the weakest guys, look like dumb, stupid guys that are designed to eat bullets. Spectres are these sleek-looking robots that take a bit more damage but can go down. And pilots move like real humans. The grunts don't act like real people. They're there to be shot.
They're just cannon fodder, basically.
Yeah, they're there to push people towards... I mean, they'll push you towards objective. I've definitely seen a mass exodus of grunts run towards a hard point and stuff like that. But they're basically there to give you a boost for your Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Killing enemy players and cannon fodder speeds up the respawn timer of your Titan and also speeds up your Titan's core ability if you're in a Titan.
Now, this kind of reminds me a little bit of... of games like, you know, like League of Legends, where you have, like, minions and they're just pretty much cannon fodder, and really what you need to focus on are, like, the humans. Ted, is that kind of a good assessment of it?
I don't go looking for pilots. I try to do what's best for the objective. If I see a big cluster of grunts, each grunt's worth 1 point for attrition, for example, and a pilot is worth 4 points. Killing four grunts, which they tend to be in groups of, is the same as killing a pilot, so why not? I'm still getting bonuses And there's other things like burn cards, which can increase the bonuses, and this and that.
Hmm. So is there, is there like currency within the game, like within a battle and stuff? No?
I would say the currency is time. The faster you can get Titans out, the better in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you can get it, like if you can get a Titan early, it could change the game pretty quickly in your favor. And the thing is, like, what, like, to extend on what Ted was saying, like, yeah, like killing the grunts and stuff like that, like it really does. Like, I will kill anybody I see. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll shoot them because, again, that speeds up my Titan. I want to get my Titan as fast as possible. And man, when the Titan comes down, it is awesome every single time. Like, just jumping in that thing and then, like, getting into a mano fight with the Titan. Like, you know, so back to what I was saying. We have, because there's an extension here. You have the tactical ability, then you have two kits. The kits are like your perks. The kits are like, extended wall running or something like that, you know? Or enhanced parkour, which it's called, which lets you run longer on the wall and hang on the wall longer. If you press the left trigger while you're wall running, you'll just hang on the wall. Like, you'll stick your knife into the wall. Mm-hmm. And you can just hang on the wall and shoot people from up there. So there's that. But the Titan has the same thing. The Titan has a tactical ability, and then it has two, like, special abilities. Mm-hmm. So... one of them would be like your damage core or, you know, like, and it'll regenerate your boost. Like the ogre has a damage core. So it basically, when that boost fills up, he does more your Titan does more damage.
Hmm.
And that lasts for a very short amount of time, unless you have a special, kit where it slows the timer down. So you have it speeds it up to get it and it slows it down to use it. And then there's things like electric smoke, that you shoot out electric smoke, and anything caught in its field, it does its damage, and it takes away the Titan shield. So if you boost towards another Titan and hit him with electric smoke, you can start wailing and shooting and dropping your rockets on him and really wear him down.
Okay, so Titanfall good, right?
Titanfall is very good. There are some problems. I feel like there's very few guns.
Yeah, there really are. You unlock them at a decent enough pace, but by the time you're tired of all your guns, you'll get one more. But there really aren't that many. There's two SMGs. I'd like to say two different versions of medium-range rifles.
Three.
Well, the carbine you count as a medium-range.
Yeah, it's a medium to long-range, and then there's...
I consider it short to medium, but that's me.
Well, I've taken people out across the map with it, and that...
Sure.
I
take people out across the map with an SMG. You can do that in this game. This ain't Battlefield.
This is, there's two SMGs, there's three rifles, there's two sniper rifles, there's one shotgun, there's the smart pistol, and then
No one uses the shotgun after a certain level, I've noticed, and I don't see the smart pistol pretty much used ever.
Ever. Hmm. Yeah. Then that's pretty much it, and then you basically get one attachment and one mod per gun. So the customization, and there's not a lot of those either. It feels like the customization is really stunted. It's not as robust as there has been in the past 8 years since the Respawn guys were at Infinity Ward and totally turned multiplayer shooters on their head on consoles.
Well, they probably like figured that this is the best way to kind of go about this, you know, to start as opposed to like kind of adding too much bling and then unbalancing the gameplay. Because I mean, from what I can tell, everybody's having fun playing this game, and nobody feels like somebody's overpowered too much because of some stupid perk or what have you. Like everything.
No, it's really well balanced.
Yeah, so that's probably why. It seems like it's a good game. I mean, that's really cool that, you know, the Xbox has sold a lot. I'm really anxious to see how the hardware sales are for the Xbox in March. So we will see, right?
Yeah, and then just two more things. One, like we talked about, the campaign is really kind of a non-issue. And there's only five game modes. And two of them are kind of an iteration on
The same
the
thing.
The one. Okay. Like attrition and then pilot hunter. Attrition, you get points for every Titan you kill, every minion you kill, every pilot you kill, and the counter to your attrition score. Once you hit the cap of 400 points, the game's over. Mm-hmm. Whereas pilot hunter, you only get points for killing pilots. So minions and Titans are just basically to get your thing back. I'll tell you one thing. I absolutely love, I get such a thrill out of being on foot taking on Titans. So much fun. Yeah. Hitting them with an arc grenade and then spamming them with the Sidewinder, just watching their health go down.
Yeah.
So much fun. I'll take a beating after that, but I don't care. I did my damage.
Mm-hmm. And but to kind of close this, though, I mean, longevity-wise, you guys think like this has legs and stuff?
I think this game has legs. They're putting out DLC and now would be probably like...
In the form of new maps,
days.
Or like what kind of DLC?
No one knows yet.
I hope we get new guns. I need new guns for shooting.
I agree with Ted. I'm hoping it's some new guns and some new maps. And private matches. There's no private matches.
We're going to get 12 people to get a private match.
I have no so had... many friends that have this game.
Yeah, I just play Killer Instinct. And then I like to make fun of people.
I see.
It's good to be better than other people at games.
Okay, so are you guys playing any other games or just Titanfall?
You know, today was a big day for games, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's see. I got Final Fantasy Remaster.
Well, I'm talking about games you're playing, not like what you got.
Hold on. I'm building up to something. I got Final Fantasy Remaster. I got Luftrausers. I got Steam World Dig.
What are you building up to?
I'm playing L.A. Noire.
Wow. So what year
for
was
the first
that?
Time?
I've actually gotten farther than I've ever gotten. I think I'm almost done with traffic.
So are you making him as angry as ever?
Who, me?
No, like the protagonist, because he always seems angry when he's like interrogating people.
Yeah, you know that was because originally it was designed to be like threaten and not doubt.
Yeah.
But there is I guess what I am going to be playing some Final Fantasy when this is over. Get my hands on it if Rachel will let me have the TV.
I do want to pick up the collection and stuff, like, you know, the Final Fantasy X and X-2. And, you know, and I just discovered also that if I do get Ground Zeroes for PS3, the save does carry over to the PS4. So, woohoo!
Nice.
Yep. Good shit.
I have read that game has a little bit of replay value. That's what people are saying on NeoGAF, but basically people are flipping out over the one scene that was controversial that they're saying, and it is, in fact, controversial. No spoilers, but, wow, that's pretty woof.
Yeah, I'm pretty, like, you know, I have a black shroud, like, around this game, because I really want to kind of be like a virgin when I fucking play this game and like really just experience it from the beginning. But it seems to me that the entirety of this game has already been shown at E3 when they were, you know, when they're showing him like infiltrate, you know, Omega Base and stuff and then getting out. And that's pretty much
the entire game.
Yeah.
You go to Omega Base and then you're done.
Yep.
I had an argument today about whether or not this game is a demo. And they're like, it's a prologue. I'm like, because they're telling you it's a prologue. It's a fucking demo.
Hmm.
I played Final Fantasy Dissidia Prologus, which is a funny way of saying prologue. And Gran Turismo 5 Prologue was a prologue. I think you can call it a prologue because it has original content.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean...
Yeah, but does that mean? Well, but how does that mean you can't call it... Does that mean you can't call it a demo?
Well, the Bravely Default demo would also be a prologue because it had original content and took, like, hours to beat.
I mean, what is the definition of a demo anyway? Like, I guess that's the big question, right?
A definition of a demo is a playable version of a game made available for free to entice you to buy the full version.
And now they're charging you for it.
Well, it is going to be its own game. It's not like you're going to be able to go to Omega Base in Phantom Pain or anything.
But here's the thing. I firmly believe that you were going to be able to do that. This was going to be the first prologue, and then it was going to say flash forward to 9 years later. And then that was going to be it. But they chopped it off.
I mean, no, that was actually never the idea.
Everything I've read has said completely the opposite.
Really? Because, like, they've made it clear from the very beginning. Well, not exactly clear, but they've made it so that they pretty much said from the beginning that it was going to be two games.
Yeah, that it was going to be two games, but if you read the interviews, he said, oh, we wanted a way to introduce people to the new systems. that are going to be in place for the Phantom Pain.
That's general Japanese PR bullshit. You got to learn to read through that.
So, all right. So it's not a demo. It's just a 2-hour. I'm not even going to argue with this. It's a demo. It's a fucking $30 demo.
Look, Sean, I'm sorry that you're poor. You don't have to play everything. All right. Yep. Shit.
Yep.
It's not about being poor. I could afford that. I don't want to spend or send a message to them that this is okay to say, hey, you can cut off two hours of a game and package it to me, and I'll bend over and pay you money to shove it up my ass. Like, I'm not that's what I feel like they're doing.
Well, then don't buy it. There's plenty of other things for you to buy. All right, then.
Well,
I don't see what the problem here is.
As far as I'm concerned, like, I'm a big enough fan of Metal Gear. As far as, like, you know, as far as the whole series is concerned, that at first I wasn't like, you know, but when the smoke got cleared and they said, well, you could just port over your save from your PS3 version to the PS4, I'm like, well, shit, I'm not going to buy a fucking PS4 just for this, you know, for this game. I'm just going to buy it on the PS3 and play it. It's going to be $10 less.
If this somehow is the game that convinces someone to get a next-gen system, that will be something.
Nah. Well, I mean, I would think that Phantom Pain would be the one, right? This game is kind of like this weird transitional game that's like, well, this is potentially what's going to make, you know, what's going to look better on the next gen platform and stuff. And it's like, I can try to see that right now in a current gen. And of course, it's not going to run at 60 frames per second. But at the very least, I can still have the same experience everybody else is, which I do appreciate them doing that. But that being said, the experiences of a lot of people saying, like, oh, yeah, you can finish it in 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, because you probably fucking played the game over and over and over. It is an open-world game. It is as open-world... It is probably more open-world than, like, Grand Theft Auto anything. Because you could beat it in such a quick span of time. Especially if you know where to go. But when you start the game, it's not going to be, like, 10 minutes. You know? Plus, there's that... Plus, I guess... If I remember correctly, each version has, like, its own, like, hidden mission or something like that, like, unlockable.
Yeah, there are four side ops that are available throughout the game, and if you can collect all of the badges, you'll earn the fifth side op, which is your platform's exclusive mission.
Which is, I think, you play as...
Polygon Snake.
Polygon
Snake. On PlayStation, you play as Polygon Snake, and on Xbox, you, I want to say Raiden.
Yeah, it is. It's like Jamais Vu is like that's what it's called on Xbox, and then like Deja Vu, that's what it's called on PlayStation.
Ted, I have a question for both of you. Alex, you make way more money than I do, but still you're money conscious.
Yes.
Ted's a little more free with his money. But you don't think that selling this, which is not a complete game, that's 2 hours long, for the price that they're selling for, and if this is successful, you don't think this is going to set a bad precedent where other developers are going to sit there and be like, well, we can lop off a part of the game and sell it as a prologue and then cost...
Well, people are going to try that anyway regardless, right? I mean, the question is, is the content that they're delivering, you know, well worth the time and investment that you put on it? And to me, I'm the kind of person when I play Metal Gear to try multiple ways to kind of approach the same kind of problem. Because that's the beauty of Metal Gear to me. In the previous games, that hasn't really been kind of the thing like that, you know, that I experience in most Metal Gear games. Like, I can tell you now, like, if you hand me the controller and have me play Metal Gear Solid 1 on PlayStation, I know the exact places and I know the exact routes of like how I get from point A to point B. And that's kind of like where I see, you know, like Ground Zeroes is very different from previous games, is because you could approach it in many different angles. You could approach it in many different ways. Maybe you could, you know, improve on your current run, you know, like who really knows? Like I said, I haven't played the game, but I know that was kind of the approach that Kojima was making when he kept talking about, oh, this is open world, blah, 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 blah. You know, like that's really, you know, what he wanted to do with this game. And, you know, I don't want to jump into Phantom Pain completely green and not know what to do. Like, I just want to be like, all right, I know the controls are going to be exactly like this. Boom, 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 boom. I don't have to worry about the stupid tutorial and all that bullshit.
Well, I'm not going to have to do that either, because I'm either going to buy it used or rent it. I'm just making sure Konami doesn't get any of my money.
Right. Well, you know, somebody else will. That's kind of the thing, right? You need to rent it, or somebody else needs to buy in order for you to actually get a used copy. So either way, they will get some money. And
not for me, though. Yeah, and that's all that matters.
Right. Well,
I want to see more of this.
Now you're trolling.
No, I'm dead serious.
Really?
I think that the freedom to create this kind of experience, like a two-hour bite-sized experience, mm-hmm. I want to see more of that. I want to see that kind of thing when developers aren't pressured to make a full, you know, 30-hour game.
Yeah,
but you want them to charge. See, that's the thing. You look at it in a point of view where money's not an object to you, but there are people like myself who $30 is not a wise investment.
It's $20, by the way, also on current gen. It's not $30 for everybody.
I wouldn't buy. It's $30 on next gen, and that's where I'm at now. So I'm not going to buy it on last gen just to experience the game. So sitting there going, okay, here's $30 for a next gen. And mind you, in a couple of years, there isn't going to be any last gen games being made. They're all going to be current gen, being charged $30 for 2 hours of content. And you might be okay with that because money's not really an object to you, but it is to a lot of people, and they're ripping people off.
Because the game's only 2 hours long?
For $30, yes. If you want to charge $15 for this, fine. I'm with it. If you want to charge $30, fuck you.
What does game length have to do with price?
Because it's value.
I disagree with that. Length doesn't necessarily mean value.
You know I set you up for that, Sean.
It doesn't.
I knew you were going to do that.
It doesn't necessarily mean value, but that's what it means to the person spending the money.
What about a game with infinity hours?
I remember vividly buying Max Payne 2 for $50, taking it to college, beating it in one day, and being livid that I spent $50 on a game that I beat in 7 hours.
But how much of that is the quality of the gameplay being poor?
Not. The quality of the gameplay is really good, but when I'm paying that much money, I want an experience that's going to last me more than one day.
You know you can play it again, right?
Yeah, but it's not
I don't
the
think
same
that's
thing.
The, I don't
point.
Think that's the point. It's Ted, I think it's the richness of the gameplay combined with the actual length. Like, there needs to be some sort of satisfaction. I understand where Sean is coming from, but to me, like, length of gameplay doesn't dictate, you know, my enjoyment of the game. Like, it also has to be with, you know, how the game systems work and whether or not I can fucking break it. You know, like, that's why I feel
No, I know, but when I spend $60 on a game like Call of Duty 4 and I get a really good campaign and 2 years out of that multiplayer, that's value. When I get a game that I spend $60 with and I'm done with it in 3 days and I don't want to touch it again, that's a ripoff. That's not value to me. So that's why I trade those games in. You get a game like Left 4 Dead, I've had Left 4 Dead 2 since it came out. You know what I mean? I always feel the desire to once in a while to put that back in. Titanfall is going to be the same thing. Luckily, I didn't pay for it, but, you know, I'm going to play that game more and more and more. I get what you're saying, that it shouldn't be the length of time, and I'm not saying it's a one-to-one on length of time versus value, because it's not. Mm-hmm. But when I can pay $60 and play Skyrim for 255 hours and enjoy every single moment of that, paying half that price for not even a fucking 1% of the amount of time that I enjoyed that, that's ridiculous. And I feel like this should be $15. This should be a $15 download.
As far as the game goes, I know where they're coming from. I'm okay with it. I mean, Ted is okay with it. I'm a big enough Metal Gear Solid fan to be like a sucker to actually buy this. I had a friend who literally was not going to buy it for $40. Then when he dropped it to 30 on a PS4, he's buying it now. So, you know, a bottom line is, like, you know, this is going to be like one of those things where it's going to be interesting to see how many people actually bought it and to see if, like, you know, people will copy it, which I'm pretty sure to your words, people will try to do it, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a whole. We're talking about Metal Gear here. There's a certain amount of royalty that's involved and prestige that comes with a brand like this.
I absolutely love Metal Gear.
Yeah,
I love Metal Gear.
If EA did this for like something stupid, like, I don't know, like Need for Speed or something, or Madden, that's just gonna be too funny.
No, so, and I understand what you're saying about loyalty, but let's look at Call of Duty. Call of Duty is a very popular brand. What's to say they're not going to sit there and cut off the multiplayer and the single player and start charging you twice as much for both
You know they've wanted to do that for years,
yeah,
right?
They could
probably
do
going
that.
To now.
They could totally
they could do
that.
That.
Yeah.
They could do
they
that.
Will.
One of the things I respect about them right now is that they don't do that. And if you put in a Call of Duty disc for $60, you're getting a ton of content.
Well, here's the thing, Sean. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's kind of like the same conversation we had before, right? Like, you know, a lot of people were complaining about Titanfall because it didn't have single player. Well, what if, you know, they just packaged Call of Duty with just a multiplayer? To that end, the people who love the multiplayer don't have to deal with a single player, and so you're kind of serving both, you know, both ends of the bargain. You don't have to buy the $30 one. The people who love the multiplayer could buy the $30 version, and you can
buy
the
full
version.
But I don't think they're gonna. I don't think that they're. That's the thing. I don't think they would charge $30. I think they would charge full price.
No,
they wouldn't charge full price. They charge $40 for each piece, so it would be a combined $80.
Okay, we're just fanning
the
flames, but you know what I mean. It's the compartmentalizing of games is gonna come, and the thing is, like, you know, it's there are it as
well, for
we
the
move
record,
forward.
EA already, in fact, did do this with a sports game.
What was it?
Fight Night Champion. They released it piecemeal on PlayStation. You could buy any piece that you wanted.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, moving forward, though, like the way that, you know, the PlayStation 4 is structured in terms of the patching and all that stuff, like, I feel that we're going to move towards that model of compartmentalizing games and stuff. Not to say that you can't buy both of them together, like the single player and the multiplayer for $60, but, you know, if people just want the multiplayer part, they could just pay X number of dollars for it. And if you, you know, so.
I just don't have the faith in publishers that you guys do that they wouldn't try to rip us off and nickel and dime us any way they can.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's already happening with DLC. So, you know, it's we'll just see like how people react to it, and hopefully people get smart about it. So, but let's move away from that. And so, since you guys have just been playing Titanfall, I bought Ollie Ollie PS Vita. I don't know how I feel about that game.
You kind of assumed that's all that all I was playing was Titanfall.
Well,
we kinda
you guys
over because Sean couldn't shut up about how to play Titanfall about things.
Yeah, well, okay. So, because we're already about.
Wait, was I not supposed to talk about how do you play Titanfall for people who listen who haven't played Titanfall?
Not really. It just takes too long. I can read the information faster with my brain parts.
Anyway, so, I mean, is there anything else? Because we're about like half an hour through the episode already. We just talked about.
I've been playing Luftrausers.
Okay.
You haven't heard of that?
Nope.
God, I thought we ran a video game website. This is so bad.
Well, I mean, usually if you're, you know, based off of what I said as rules, if you're interested in a game, you should post this as a moment. Don't see anything on the website about Luftrausers as a moment. So there you go.
The game came out about an hour ago. It came out right before we started recording. So.
I've never heard of this game before you opened your mouth and talked about it.
Yeah. Well, that's because you don't like indie games that look like 8-bit NES games.
But that's
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Post it on the website, dude. I mean, that's why I say post moments on the website if you're really excited about it. Anyway,
fine. I'm even going to have the headline, Luftrausers is a game for poor people. There you go. Jesus Christ in a chicken basket. Can we move on?
Okay. All right, Luftrausers, what is it?
It is a side-scrolling flying game where you get infinite customizable parts for your plane, and you just try to do as well as you can arcade style, get as many points as you can. It's just really addicting. You just keep playing it. It's on PS3, Vita, and PC. Cross-buy on the PlayStation.
Okay. Anything else?
SteamWorld Dig is apparently a Metroidvania roguelike.
Interesting.
It's a cross-buy on PS4 and Vita.
Okay.
And I found out that the remastered visuals in Final Fantasy X don't take away from the fact that game is still awkward as all fuck.
Really?
Dude, you look at their eyes. I mean, for the minor characters, their eyes are still soulless, hiding a darkness that only can be replicated by watching American Psycho or Tom Cruise on David Letterman.
I'm currently downloading the game as we speak.
I want you to know I got the limited edition art book packaging, and, you know, it's kind of dumb.
Is it better than the Play Arts one that I got many, many years ago when the game came out?
No.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
And if you're keeping score, if you want it on your Vita, 6.6 gigs have to be free on your memory card.
So it has to be 6.6 gigs. You can't just be, like, downloading Final Fantasy X or Final Fantasy X-2.
It is only available in the bundle unless you buy the Vita version physically, at which point the X2 will be available as a digital voucher download. And X is on a card, yes.
God damn it. Okay. So yeah. I have the free 6 gigabytes.
And for the record, when I said I had about a gig free, Unit 13 is now free on Vita, so you might as well grab that because it's free. I'm now down to 100 megs.
Nice.
Wow. Amazing.
I want Unit 13.
How's... Unit 13 is a game that's worth paying zero for. That's what I'll say
yes,
about it.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, it's a good third-person shooter. Wouldn't pay a dime for it. Unfortunately, I did, so there you go.
I played the demo and said this sucks, and now I'm glad it's... I don't want to say it sucks, but it's a sad final game from the people that made SOCOM, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So is that pretty much what you've been playing, Ted? Seems like a lot.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Sean, how's Persona 4?
now I'm looking for... I'm on the third day of... What's that girl's name? Rise?
Rise, yeah.
Rise's in the TV, and I'm getting ready. Now I have to go find out things about her so Teddy can sniff her out. That's where I'm at.
Got it. Okay.
We went camping.
Yeah? How is that?
That was awful. For them. It was exactly what I think camping would be like.
With them?
They nailed it. Yeah, the video game.
So, yeah, so good stuff, right? 2 thumbs up still? Thumbs up, whatever? Like.
Oh, I love it. I think it's a great game. I think it's absolutely charming, fun game.
So I guess now that you've played this long of a game, do you kind of get the feel of like how, I guess, the length of the gameplay is kind of paralleling their life in some ways? Like, it's almost life, almost, playing it like on a daily basis and experiencing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like a thing that I do every day.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. Okay.
That's really good.
So you should probably know that I got as far as maybe booting episode 2 of season 2 and then promptly turning it off because I couldn't.
Why did you promptly turn it off?
I didn't. I had to leave. Like, I was like, oh shit, we're late for this thing, so we had to leave. I'm like, oops. So, but I do intend on at least playing it by the time we roll around in the next podcast so we can actually like somewhat talk about it mildly. I don't know. Unless Ted actually catches up with us talking about Walking Dead somehow to season 2 next week, I don't see how that happens.
Yeah, me neither.
Yes.
Do you watch the show Walking Dead?
Nope.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I got a question for you, Sean. Did you watch the after show Talking Dead?
No, I watch it. I download it.
You know who was on? You know who was on Talking Dead this week?
Oh, CM Punk,
who is now known as Phillip Brooks.
What?
Oh, he's going by his regular name now.
Well, WWE does own the name. You know, it is what it is.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, hopefully he comes back, right? Right?
You know, I don't care anymore. I'll be honest. Ooh. If he quit, he quit on us. And if he needs to get his life straight, get your life straight. I don't need to see you that bad.
Yeah.
If you've got weird-ass mental problems whatever the hell's wrong with you.
Ooh, speaking of which, sorry to cut you off, Ted. Before I completely forget about this, so remember I told you guys that I was subscribed for like WWE Network for about a week and then I canceled it? Well, guess what happened? They gave me another They gave me another free week.
Oh, how nice of them.
Right on time for WrestleMania this, in a few Sundays from now.
So. Actually, you can't use your free weekend. The free week ends this Saturday. You won't be able to redeem them anymore.
Well, oh, yeah, then that's not
going
to work.
Check the date on that. I could be wrong, but I know for a fact that the free week stuff is ending pretty soon.
Well, The second free week that they're giving me, it needs to be redeemed by Saturday, so I guess, yeah, that's not going to happen. Oh. So, yeah.
Well, you can watch, you know, like...
Well, anyway, so, yeah, CM Punk, okay, whatever. All right, so let's get into some news, shall we? Because it's been really, really juicy lately.
Lots of stuff.
It was dead, and then all of a sudden, more news. I was like, fuck.
Like, this whole week.
Well, yeah. You know, it's GDC, so stuff's happening.
Yeah.
I just didn't think Sony was going to do what they did already. I don't know if we're going to talk about that or
something. Let's talk about that
first,
because I'm really interested in this, because, okay, you know, the PlayStation Eye technology has been this kind of Trojan horse that, you know, that's just been kind of looming around Sony for a while, and then all of a sudden they make this thing called the Morpheus VR, which basically interfaces with that fucking thing, and I guess, like, has an accelerometer and shit. What is
this
thing?
It does not work with the PlayStation Eye, it works with the PlayStation camera.
Okay.
What is the difference? The PlayStation Eye was the camera on the PS3. The PlayStation camera is the camera on the PS4.
Sure. Same technology, would like you to know.
Yeah, although, yeah. The PS4 camera is better. It has more lenses and whatnot and is higher resolution. But here's what we know about the Morpheus. It is full 1080p, 90-degree field of vision.
Wow.
It uses a camera as well as built-in accelerometers, gyroscopes, to determine where you are looking, and it's said to be very accurate. It works with the DualShock controller or the PlayStation Move. And here's something I like as probably the resident audiophile. It can do 60-channel audio.
Oh, my gosh.
They say it can replicate sounds from 60 possible locations, and as you move around, you'll hear the sound move with you.
That's crazy.
You know that's interesting is because Dolby Atmos is 60-channel.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't know is when does it come out or how much does it cost. So don't even bother. I don't think it's a 2014 item.
It is a prototype, did they say, right?
They have a prototype, and at GDC they have demos. I guess they're handing out tickets to anyone who wants to try it out because they're going to be such demand.
Yeah.
The prototypes that Shuhei Yoshida demonstrated go as far back as 2010.
Ooh.
And they've already said, yes, it works with glasses. It works with headphones. There will even be a headphone jack in it.
Wow.
But here's the bombshell to me. People who have tried it have said the visual fidelity and experience are already noticeably better than Oculus Rift.
Wow. Really?
Now, as someone who has researched Sony's history as a company that basically formed in the ashes of World War II, Sony engineers have really taken kind of a beating. I mean, hey, how about that Sony smartphone, right? Or that Sony television. But if Sony engineers have managed to pull off VR, that they should feel incredibly good about themselves because it's the first significant development Sony's made since... I don't know if you can say Sony invented Blu-ray. I guess they did.
Mm-hmm.
Inventing the CD was more significant from a technological standpoint. But this is huge if they've pulled this off, and Sony deserves a huge pat on the back. And there's already some games announced for it.
What?
Yep. So does anyone remember EVE Online, the VR version called Valkyrie, which was exclusive to Oculus Rift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's some fun with fine print. It is exclusive to Oculus Rift on the PC.
Oh. Wow.
So a lot of people are wondering if this thing's going to get traction, because you can argue Move didn't get traction, and you'd probably be right, and the PlayStation Eye didn't get traction, but... I find it hard to believe that VR wouldn't get traction. It's just too exciting.
Hmm.
I still feel I'm excited for it too, but I still feel like it's going to be a niche.
Mm-hmm.
If anything's going to make it niche, it's going to be the price. If they get in at $400 or under, it's going to be a steal.
I still don't think that's a steal.
Yeah.
I know. I'm saying for the technology, that is, if they can get at that price point, that's good enough. But I know that for many people, they're not going to spend $400 on that.
Well, the thing
and
is...
That's the thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think... Well, sorry, Sean, but let me just cut in real quick. Unless kind of, like, if they introduce something, like, that's a killer app that you need to have with that. Like, let's say, I don't know if... This is hypothetical, right? If they made Titanfall work with this on the PlayStation 4 when they do port it, a really big hypothetical, that could be a big deal, right? Because, I mean... You know, you're basically playing a shooter, and imagine if you can actually look all over a place without actually, like, you know, changing your aim. You know, that's...
There's a mech shooter on the PC that works with Oculus Rift called Hawken. I don't know if you remember Hawken.
Mm-hmm.
That game, they actually made it work with Oculus Rift, and people are saying, you know, one of the weaknesses with Oculus Rift is you have to stand still even though you feel like you're moving. When you're sitting in a mech, you feel like, oh, I'm moving my controller around to move the mech around. That makes sense. And then you can look around while you're in the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
That's an experience that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Titanfall is a great possible experience for Oculus Rift. I mean, Project Morpheus, which I hope gets a better name.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing. Okay, do you remember the Super Bowl when they had the ad with Morpheus from The Matrix?
Sure.
Morpheus died in The Matrix MMO. So how do you resolve that one, asshole?
Right.
Also, did you know there was a Matrix MMO?
Yeah.
Yeah, it shut down.
Shut down, yeah.
Yeah, years ago. That's the joke.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, so everybody excited about. I'm with Sean on this. Like, if you still need to spend upwards to about $200-$300 on this, you need to give me a really, really, really good case study as far as like why I would need this, you know, this item. You really need to convince a lot of people to be able to get this and as a required item for a specific game that's supposed to be a killer app for this item. You know, because it's really, I mean, that's still really steep, but kudos to them for actually trying, you know? Like, they're actually showing their guns and stuff.
I'm definitely interested in it. I just don't see this becoming a mass market thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that.
I mean, look at how popular 3D was. It still is in the movie theaters, but did not translate to television.
Nope, not at all. So... But we'll definitely, like, you know, talk about this technology more once, you know, like, people come out and say, hey, you know, we tried it and we coded it. It's actually really stupidly easy. It's a good step in the right direction as far as this generation goes, because it seems like VR is becoming a lot more prevalent, you know? So let's kind of hammer out some of these things really quick. Stig leaves Sony Santa Monica. I know that's kind of a weird topic to kind of talk about. This is a pretty big deal, though. Stig has been around for quite a long time.
Seems like Sony Santa Monica is shedding quite a few people.
Well, remember that they're also moving down to Playa del Rey, and maybe Stig wants to stay in his area or what have you, you know? Like, it could be a variety of reasons, you know? So, anyways. That's all, really, I have to say about that. Koji Igarashi leaves Konami. What the fuck? Okay. First Stig, now the guy who's responsible for the revival of the 2D Castlevania games. What gives? No opinion?
I think that when you work at the same company for 23 years, even when you're in Japan, which is a society that values lifetime employment, when you're the creative type, you gotta go do something else.
Sean, although, you were gonna say something? Sorry.
I haven't played a Castlevania game since the NES.
Okay. Ted, you were going to say something?
Well, the rumors currently have him being inspired by Keiji Inafune, his very successful Kickstarter for Mighty No. 9, now that the Japanese realize, wait, we can do these Kickstarter things, can't we? Yep. Why do we need publishers? You know, they're coming to the same conclusions that America came to several years ago.
It's funny how they're just realizing that right now, you know?
Of course, the funny thing is that when asked what game he's most likely to make, he'd probably make a 2D game like Castlevania.
I'll be down with that.
The thing is, he was talking about the 3D Castlevanias, the Lords of Shadow, done by Mercury Steam, and he said, you know, I wasn't the director for Castlevania Lords of Shadow because we really bombed making the 3D Castlevania games. Mm-hmm. So we figured, what right do we have to tell someone else how to make a 3D Castlevania game?
Wow, they really are butthurt with that.
No, that's a direct quote from the guy.
Oh,
He's accepting that they done goofed up.
No, I know. I've read the interview, trust me. I was like, wow, he's really, like, just, man. But you know how, like, Japanese are. It's like, you know, they kind of feel ashamed and stuff if they can't do things right and all that shit. It's the whole Japanese attitude. February NPD numbers. Hardware sales are up overall. PS4 sold 287,000. Xbox sold about 256,000. But software sales are down 9% year over year, which is not surprising because last year they did have a lot of good games come out. So
the numbers of the Xbox One being this close to the PS3 are interesting, considering that Titanfall hadn't come out yet. Were these people buying Xbox Ones in anticipation of Titanfall? And it really
makes the beta.
But you also wonder about the March numbers. I think the March numbers are going to be a win for Xbox One. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. I definitely do too. I mean, obviously I bought it so I could play it, and I don't think obviously I'm the only person who's done this. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like there's a lot of people who have been buying Xbox Ones all along in anticipation for Titanfall. So.
Yeah. I mean, so if anything, Sony needs to kind of ratchet up, like, you know, their excitement for the upcoming games and stuff. And I don't think, while they're kind of doing a really good job of kind of maintaining the value of PlayStation Plus as a service and whatnot, the platform desperately needs something for people to play, you know, games
Friday.
On. Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, there's Infamous and stuff, but I'm just saying, you know, it's March, I feel, is going to reflect more towards Microsoft's side than Sony, because it's all everybody talks about, Titanfall. And while Infamous will come out and stuff and it'll appease current people, I don't know about you guys, but I don't feel Infamous is like a system seller to me.
Well, it definitely is to me, because that's why one of the reasons why I jumped on a PS4 right away.
Right, of course. I mean, we obviously like knew that, because I mean, that was one of the games that you came out at E3 like really excited about. Yeah. You know?
I understand what you're saying. If you're going to compare 1-to-1 with Titanfall, no, I don't think it's going to be necessarily a game that people hyped about. But here's the thing. Titanfall is a shared experience, so it's going to generate more of that kind of conversation.
Right.
Whereas Infamous...
Solitary, single player.
Yeah, it's a solitary game. But I think I don't want to overuse this word, but the Trojan horse for Infamous is how good it looks and how it's the first game that's really going to show off
next gen,
what this tech can do. Mm-hmm. You know, and be like, look at this. This is next gen. And, you know, you got Bob hanging his friends over and he's like, oh my God, I got to get a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, people are forgetting, yeah, there might not be a lot of exclusive content for the PS4 right now, but they have the best version of cross-gen game, multi-gen games.
Yeah, I mean, Ground Zeroes is 1080p only on PS4.
Yeah, I mean, so you're looking at it and you're going, okay, well, I still want the Call of Duty, I still want the Battlefields, I still want the Need for Speeds, or whatever multi-gen or cross-gen title, cross-platform title there is. So now, well, they're going to get the best-looking version of it. And that's why I think PS4... is still selling even without having a quote-unquote killer app yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. In fact, kind of like to that end, I was trying to see like if I could trade my 3DS in and stuff, you know, because my 3DS is a broken stick and they're not going to be able to check that at all, like at GameStop. So I was like, I'll trade it in, get like a 3DS XL, right? And then oddly, they mentioned something on the phone that I was really surprised about. They said, well, we buy it back for $60, but if you want to buy like a PS4, a Wii U, or an Xbox One, we can basically add 50% to that. So I'm like, wait a second. So my trade-in value for this 3DS will be $90? If I do that, and that's when that's when the wheels in my head start turning. I'm like, wait, I can get my PS4 for less than, you know, for $90 off if I do this. That is kind of crazy. So they're doing something to really put.
Do it. Do it.
I'll have money within the next few months, so I'm holding off on that. I'll wait a little, just a little bit more until Infamous maybe drops maybe a smidgen of a price, and then I'll get it. Or borrow Chris's copy, you know, because Chris and all that stuff. Talking about Xbox, Mark Whitten, you know, the dude from Xbox, has left Xbox for Sonos, which is quite a curious move. Is everybody
usually
just,
with the
yeah?
Usually with these moves, they don't say right away who they're going to. I mean, when Don Matrick left Microsoft, it didn't come out right away that he was going to.
Zynga.
But, I mean, they themselves, Microsoft, said, oh, he's going to Sonos. That's such a weird thing to do in a press release. Like, I remember when Seth Killian left Capcom, I mean, he knew where he was going, but he didn't say it. I think that was out of respect to Capcom that he didn't want to say, oh, I'm going over to Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Although, quickly, like, within by the end of the week, it's like, hey, I'm over here now.
Yeah. Mark Whitten is pretty much one of the figureheads for the Xbox division right now, right? This is kind of really interesting.
I've always, for me, Mark Whitten is the guy whenever they make a big announcement about Xbox, like they talk about a big firmware update, he'll go and make a letter and say, and here's all the other stuff we didn't have time to talk about for the firmware update, all these little features, the ones that make me always go the most nuts, like there was a firmware update that enabled non-standard VGA resolutions for the Xbox 360. I'm like, oh, that's so cool!
But ever since, like, Matrick left, it seems like, you know, the Xbox brand has been looking for, like, a good spokesperson to talk about the brand. And I don't think Phil Harrison's that person.
And Major Nelson has a very bad case of old.
Oh, no. Phil Harrison is definitely not that person. After the reveal, where he had to do an interview with I think Eurogamer or somebody called them back in to clarify an incorrect statement he gave them, because no, absolutely not. No.
Yeah. So I
mean, Phil Spencer should be the guy talking. He's the best guy they have right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So good luck to Mark Witten. That's, you know, I guess, yeah, good luck at Sonos if they're still around next year.
The funny thing is, it's a lateral move. He was the head of
chief product officer of Xbox, and now he's going to be the chief product officer of Sonos.
Yeah.
There it is.
Maybe he's just too stressed out by all the fucking, you know, fires he has to put out, maybe.
Maybe he's pissed about the fucking reversal.
Yeah. Well, there's that too. All right. So, Ted, this is important to you. De Capra revealed for Ultra Street Fighter 4.
How many times did I say that it was De Capra over the past several months? So did I ever reveal who my source was?
No.
It was Mike Watson. Mike Watson is the guy who runs Super Arcade. Mike Watson just deadpanned to me, "You want to know who it is?" I said, "Sure." He said, "It's the Cammy clone with the mask and claw." And I actually happen to know the name of that because I'm really into the Street Fighter extended lore. So that's also how I know he's telling the truth. There's no way he would know that there's a Cammy clone with a mask and claw, because I doubt that guy reads the Street Fighter comic book like me. So yes, I always knew it was De Capra. Yeah. I actually don't know how to pronounce that. Okay. So here's a little backstory. If you ever played Street Fighter Alpha 3, there are these two Cammy clones called Julie and Junie.
I mean, let's keep this short. So all the dolls are named after months, right?
Yep, and they're named like Decapper is Russian for December. Yep. So, okay, she plays kind of like Cammy. Most of her normals are exactly like Cammy's. Her Standing Fierce is actually closer to Vegas. Her Jumping Fierce is closer to Vegas.
But she's basically like Julie, right? Julie is the charge version of the dolls.
Junie is the charge version of the dolls.
Okay.
I'm laughing as I say that because I realize how ridiculous it is that I know that. All her moves are charge moves. She back forward punch is a teleport. Back forward kick. Here's a fun fact. Did you actually watch the stream where Combo Fiend played a special exhibition as De Capper against Ryan Hart, who won final round?
No, are you talking about the one where it's like she was playing against like a Sagat, like an old one? Or
yes. They were doing option select, or not option select, edition select, but they've already changed De Capper from the version that we saw on Sunday.
Mm.
She no longer can do, she can't do cannon drills on the ground anymore, only in the air.
Oh, Jesus, okay.
They've already taken that away from her. She has this weird flashing punch, which is like a flash kick down-up punch.
Mm-hmm.
She can mash punch to do this rapid punch strike. She's like a Cammy that has fewer combo opportunities, but a better mid-range game.
Got it. Okay. So, yeah. So, at least we know now. And it's basically the person we knew all along.
I would say that now that we're thinking about it, it's way less interesting than we were hoping for. I was hoping that she would at least look different. I mean, I knew who it was. I didn't think they would give her the exact same idle animations.
Jesus.
But they did. I would say some of the existing characters, like Hugo, are more interesting. Someone said, I played as Hugo, and his standing fierce, like if you are Guile and you do a sonic boom, and Hugo does a standing fierce hits you.
Yep. So
from halfway across the screen.
Wow.
So, and it has armor, so you don't take damage.
Yeah. So there you go, De Capra, Ultra, Street Fighter 4, your last new character joining the roster.
That game is scheduled for June as a upgrade for the PS3 and 360 versions, and it's a standalone release in August.
Okay, sweet.
So it'll be out in time for Evo, which is why it's confirmed for Evo.
Got it. Okay, so last bit of news. Xbox One is finally launching in Japan and 26 other countries this September. Thoughts, gents?
What are the launch titles in Japan?
Why bother with Japan would be my thoughts. I don't know. I mean, finally, that's cool.
Yeah. It's important to note, since we talked about it, that Ground Zeroes is not coming out for Xbox One.
In Japan?
In Japan.
Really?
Really, yes, really.
It's a PS4 exclusive?
You know, there are some real hardcore Halo fans in Japan. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Some real hardcore Halo fans in Japan, for reals.
More hardcore than any other region in the world?
I think you'd have to be if you're going to be a Halo fan in Japan. I mean, you know, that's something special.
I mean, is this too late for Microsoft to establish themselves in other countries?
Oh, God. Oh, in Japan? I mean,
or anywhere. In these 26 countries.
Well, I don't know. I know. I mean, in Russia, Russia's not a big console gaming place anyway. That they're big on PC.
Well, they're
gaming.
Too busy invading Ukraine anyway. So there you go.
Hey, Crimea, they voted. They're a sovereign Russian territory, and it was
while they have a military occupation on them.
I can't do it with a straight face. I don't even care.
I mean, I don't know if necessarily it's too late or not. I mean, it's still too early to say if anything's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It just sucks for them.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to see how many times Microsoft is willing to fail in Japan. I mean, the first time it was like, you know, oh, it's their first time. And, you know, it was a big old console. They'll get better with the Xbox 360. And it's easy to forget that they had one very big hit in Japan on Xbox 360, and that was the Idolmaster.
Oh, right. That's right.
A game which at the time set record for the most available DLC for any video game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what Namco discovered. That they could just milk the crap out of people.
Mm-hmm. That's but, a good idea, always.
Well, I mean, yeah, the only reason why I say, you know, about, you know, getting beaten by Sony is because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, right now the next-gen mindshare for all those countries is probably going to be Sony. So it's kind of like, it's almost the same situation when Sony released second, you know, in certain, you know, countries, or in general, all over the world when the PS3 came out. It's kind of like, well, we already got the PS4. Why do we need the Xbox One? You know, it's almost like an uphill battle in those territories because now they got to prove themselves. I mean, if Titanfall comes out, okay, then they have like a reason. But if they don't bundle it, kind of like the way that they did it in the United States, I don't see how it's a viable thing.
Yeah, I feel like EA's got to be kicking themselves.
The EA probably thought that there would be an Xbox domination just like this generation, and I'm pretty sure that they're kicking themselves because they signed these deals before the numbers came out, and it was the case that it's not as one-sided as we thought.
Right. I don't take, you know, I'm not a big rumors guy, but apparently that famous Mortimer guy from mm-hmm. NeoGAF
yeah.
said that Sony went there recently with their own analytics and showed them, like, the numbers, and that EA is in full-on sorry mode and trying to do whatever they can to make it up to Sony.
Oh, my God.
Because Sony probably was like, okay, well, here's our analytics, and you sold this, and this game would have sold X amount of copies, and it probably trounced whatever Microsoft... Because then EA's bean counters counted it and saw that it was right. Mm-hmm. And then that's what projected the whole panic mode. But again, this is all rumor, mm-hmm. but I can see a situation where that's true because 6 million consoles in 4 months is nothing to sneeze at, especially nope. when Xbox keeps dropping. Like the last rumor was that they're at like 4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll get to 4.5 after at the end of March. And that Sony will still, it's not like Sony's going to stop selling. So right. that's going to put Sony, what, 6.5 million? So they're going to be 2.5 million or 2 million units ahead of them.
And to your statement, PS4s are again appearing on store shelves. They are now able to stock it in the United States.
Yeah. Amazon had them for a full week this time.
Yeah. They still have it, I think. And I think that my local GameStop has it now. So they're, you know, once the Japan launch happened, I think they're just ready to full-on like take over the United States, and that's why there's like a lot of stock on it now. So, and this is crazy, guys. I mean, I've never seen a console launch in the entire history of video games this successful for both platforms even.
Oh, yeah.
And then here I am looking at Nintendo. I'm really...
How is it that Nintendo releases a Mario game, which is supposed to be the bellwether of this industry, and makes nothing but a hiccup? We've really moved on.
I am about to actually sell my Wii U. If this doesn't turn around, that's going.
Okay, what's coming out for Wii U? Mario Kart? Smash Brothers?
And a hope for a Zelda title. Anyways, we're pretty much
you
done.
You can trade in your Wii U and pay for a PS4.
You really should think about that.
I actually am. It's really sad, but I actually am right now. There is nothing on... Like, dude, I have more good games on my Wii than I do my Wii U right now. It's fucking disgusting. So, anyways, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Game of Horizon After Hours podcast, unless you guys have anything to add. Last minute.
Did you hear that Borderlands 2 is going to be playable on Vita, GDC?
I did not. I'm actually, if you guys want to, anyone listening wants to check it out, I'm doing a video podcast on the weekends called Rated M for Podcast. It's just a fun little shit where we get together. It's live on YouTube, usually around 4 Pacific on Sundays. Just me and a couple of friends of mine just talking about video games and stuff like that. So if you want to check it out, again, that's on YouTube. You can hit me up at Into Another on Twitter, and then I can give you the details.
Are you going to post a post on that? Like, can you embed, like, a video of it, like, on the website?
Sure, absolutely. I got to ask my boy if it's okay, but, yeah. You know.
I mean, and, you know, like, extra eyes wouldn't, you know, wouldn't hurt. You know.
Absolutely.
So when is that again? Do you have a specific date and stuff?
So far, we've been trying to do it every Sunday. We just did the first episode. We did an episode 0 to kind of test it out, but last week was the first real episode, and that was on Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So definitely go check that out, guys. And remember, we have a website where you actually download this podcast, GamerHorizon.com. We have a Twitter account where you can follow us and have, like, a bunch of news. We're still trying to figure out, like, this social network thing, so bear in mind, you know, we're probably gonna have like a few surprises, maybe post some things on there that's not on the website at all. twitter.com/gamerhorizon, and of course on Facebook at facebook.com/gamerhorizon. If you have any questions for the After Hours podcast, we have an email address at afterhourspodcast@gamerhorizon.com. so yeah, so check that shit out. So unless nobody else has anything else to say. Anybody?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I'm going to go play Titanfall.
I'm going to play Final Fantasy.
I'm going to play maybe Ground Zeroes if it downloads tonight. So until next week, we'll see you guys later.
Later.
Bye.